Welcome to the True Face Podcast, where we have conversations about what we can learn from what's going on in our lives. My name's Robbie Engel, and I'll be your guide as we learn how to increase trust and experience grace. And today we have a guest with us, Franny Cash Kane. She has a new name as of a couple months ago, where she married Austin, who I just got to meet over Zoom. They got married in July. So, Franny, welcome to the podcast, newlywed.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
It's exciting to have you. Tell us about marriage. You're fresh in into the COVID first year craziness of marriage. How's it going so far?
Oh, my goodness. It has been overwhelmingly so, so sweet. Austin is an incredible person, and I feel so blessed to get to do life with him and be with him. And I want to be like him when I grow up. That was kind of like why I married him, you know. And I love him, but I was like, I just admire him so much. So I've been really excited about it. And our Christmas tree is over here in the corner, that our first year married Christmas tree. It's so cute. So I just love it. And our house looks so Christmassy and fun. It's just been really sweet. So we've been married for 5 months.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is awesome. It's going by like too fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other night I was like, oh, crazy how fast it's gone. I'm like, wow, it's just crazy. But it's really sweet.
I'm excited for you and Austin that you got married this year, because with everything crazy going on in your life, I'm assuming you're home more and not on the road, because next year you're exactly. probably going to be on the road again. And Austin's going to be like, where's my wife at?
Right. That's been a huge gift to us. I think if we had gotten married in the middle of touring season, we would have both been gone a lot. And so it would have been hard for us to find those rhythms that you can fall back to. Like now we have our rhythm. Like we wake up, you know, we make God, we have our Devo or whatever, and go on a walk or something. And those things that are like, okay, this is what we do. This is the normal. This is the regular. This is the steady thing. And when we go out of town, we come back to this home rhythm, sustainable lifestyle, you know, and we've been able to establish that, which has been awesome. And I think, if we'd been gone, it would have been so hard. So this has been a huge gift. It's a silver lining in the middle of a really hectic year, but it has been such a gift from God, and I'm really excited.
Podcast listeners, True Face Tribe, this is Franny Cash Kane from We the Kingdom. If you've not heard of them, you're welcome. Go check them out. I did not know this until recently that y'all are like the family, the Cash family. And then Andrew is the fifth part of the band that's not part of the family. I love it. Yeah. So your family, your dad, Ed Cash, in the band with you, he's been around music his whole life. You guys are a musical family. For those of you who don't know, they are nominated for a Grammy, two Grammys, Best Song and Best Album for Holy Water. They got Best New Artist of the Year in 2020 for Dove Awards. They are from Nashville area. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
Nashville area, you guys are up and to the right, growing like crazy, gaining influence and reach, which is so exciting for us, because watching you, we have just been fans as part of True Face.
Thank you so much. There
is Brittany is actually a team member of ours that turned me on to you guys and been listening to your songs. And there's a quote here. I don't know who made it, who said it. It might have been you, Franny. But True Face, listen to this quote that someone from the band said, and you can tell us afterwards, Franny. We hope to create music and lives and live lives that are honest. We want everybody to know that they're not alone in the struggles they face, and give them anthems to sing through the ups and downs. There's something so healing about knowing we are all on a journey together, and we hope our music allows people to join arms and truly love others and themselves. Who do you know who said that quote?
So do you know where that was from?
Authority Magazine.
Okay, so that was Scott.
Yeah. I love that
I
quote.
I love that so much.
I love y'all's music and your lyrics, and y'all are doing it. Keep it up.
Thank you so much, Robbie. It has been such an honor to get to do this. I can't even describe to you how what a gift it is from God, and it's been so healing for our family and the songs that God has given us. I just feel like we didn't write, you know, they're just so so such a gift from God. It's been funny with Cages this year because we wrote it several years ago. And then this is the, you know, we debated about putting it on the album or waiting until another one. And we really felt like we should. And then COVID broke out. And one of the first lines is, what if I took my mask off? So whenever people hear it, they're like, what? And I'm like, it's not about COVID, but it's been hilarious.
Our tagline at Trueface is beyond the mask. And I had a friend like, hey, should that really be your tagline? I'm like, bro, we're going to be here way after COVID. We just got to be awkward for a little bit.
Come on. Yeah.
It's non-political.
Exactly.
So Franny, as you know, we have guests on here on the podcast that just share a story from their life and what God taught them. And just as a Trueface tribe to process what God's doing in our lives. And I'd love to hear what you wanted to share with us today.
Yeah, I'd love to share a story with you that happened about 3 years ago. And it was so funny, Robbie, you were talking about how you're from North Georgia and you love Young Life. And so the story is actually about that. So about 3 years ago, we were driving down to a Young Life camp in Georgia called Sharp Top. And we weren't a band yet. We were just going to lead worship for some high school kids for the week. And on the way down, I think my heart just kind of broke from all of this pain and trauma that I had been through that year. It had been probably one of the hardest years for me and the culmination of a lot of tough stuff that I'd walked through. I'd been through a really, really painful and unhealthy church experience. And there's a couple of other things that came out of that just put me into this bad place. And I remember riding in the car saying, if this is who you are, God, I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm so exhausted from trying to please you, from trying to work to get your affection, and then just being hurt by people who claim to be following you. So it must be you, you know? So I remember writing that and kind of deciding in my heart that I just wanted to get through the week and then I would go my own way after that. And I was really made up about it. Like, I was really angry in that place. And that journal entry was the closest that I've ever come to wanting to completely walk away from the faith that I'd had since I was a young girl. And so the next day we get to this Young Life camp and the guys ask me if I want to write this song with them, and everything in me resists, you know, I'm in no place to write a song at all. And, but I found myself in the middle of this writer's circle and we're down at this hot tub in the outside of Sharp Top. It's like at the right over the lake, and it's so beautiful. It's at nighttime, and we're just with our mandolin sitting on the edge of the hot tub, and all the kids are like going to sleep, and it's late at night. And it's funny now when I look back, I'm like, I don't know how we ended up getting there, because I think Scott was really sick at that time. Everybody was really tired. I was really fighting it. So God really just brought us this place, and kind of out of nowhere. I can't remember who first sang it out, but it almost just sounded like there was no writing involved. Like, they just sang it out. It was, I'm reaching out. I'll chase you down. I dare you to believe how much I love you now. Don't be afraid. I am your strength. We'll be walking on the water, dancing on the waves. And I just kind of like stood back and was so aware of God's presence around me. And it was a song that could come from the perspective of God's heart reaching out to me. I'm reaching out. I'll chase you down when you want to run away. I dare you to believe that I love you. It's not about the good things that you do for me or the bad things that you've done. It's about the fact that I love you. And that is enough to cover you and enough to give you the strength to live from that. And so for me, that just like unwound me in that moment. I think I just couldn't really say much and just felt like God came out of the sky and held my face in his hands and was speaking directly to my heart. And it felt a lot like that verse that I heard later and was like, oh, that's exactly what happened to me. But that Zephaniah 3:17, it was like, the Lord rejoices over you with singing. And it felt like that. I mean, I could cry thinking about it. It was just incredible for me. And so, yeah. And I think all of us in that group, in the band, like, found ourselves in that song. And it was something that it just started to heal us, like this anthem that became such a big part of our life. And we wrote it for the kids originally. We're like, oh, we should write a song for the kids to tell them how much God loves them. And then that came out. It was like, actually, this is just as much for me. And so the next day we played it for the kids, and it was just the most electric experience I've ever had. Like, one of the fun parts about songwriting is getting to write a song and then play it for people and seeing if it connects as much as you think it did when you were writing it. Like when you're writing a song, it's like the best thing that you've ever written in that moment. Every song is like that. And then you play it for people and you're like, maybe not so much. Or maybe they really like it. Or maybe it grows with time. But this song was like, oh my gosh, people were crying. It was just this incredibly electric experience. God's presence was like, we were all so aware of God's presence. It was just really cool. And kids who didn't know the Lord, or maybe who were struggling in their faith, like everybody connected with it. And it's been sweet to actually see that school. They're actually a group from Miami. It's a school in Miami, Florida. And they have all like used that song during their graduating chapels. A few of the students have passed away and from some tragic accidents, and they've played it at the funerals. It's just been something that has become such a core part of this school, which has been so precious to see. And then the next week when we got home, we all were sitting around a campfire, just kind of joking, like, should we start a band? Like, we've always been writing songs for people and recording song, you know, records for people or doing things behind the scenes. But like, should we like do this? Like, should we be artists and like start a band? And it was more of a joke. Like, we're like the five of us, like my dad and my uncle, me and my brother, and then our random, really good friend, Andrew. I was like, this is so random. Like, what in the world? I was like, maybe we should, like, maybe we should see what, you know, see what it's about. So we started playing more things and writing more songs, and it just felt so natural and like it was supposed to happen the whole time. But for me, that song really started this personal breaking down of all the walls that I built between myself and God, and with people. And yeah, I just can't describe how influential it's been to my life. And then it was really sweet a couple months ago, right before I got married, I was journaling in the backyard, and I felt like I had this, just like, I guess I was daydreaming, or maybe it was a vision from God. I don't really know, but I was journaling, and I felt like, so it's been 3 years since I've known that song. And so 3 years later, I was journaling, and I closed my eyes and I imagined myself like crossing over into heaven's threshold, like one day. And I imagined like Jesus, oh, this makes me want to cry, but I imagine Jesus walking over to me and taking my hand and leading me to the heaven's ocean. And I don't know if that exists or if that's theologically accurate. I'm sure it will be. I'm sure there will be an ocean there, and I love the ocean. And he took me on the ocean and just didn't say anything, but held my hand and walked with me. I was so weary from life's journey, but took me onto the ocean and started spinning me around, and I actually could dance on the waves there with him. Like, I actually could have finally, it was this moment of like, one day we'll probably all have a moment with Jesus in heaven where all the things that we dreamed of doing on earth, it will actually get to do with him, you know? And so that for me was like, wow, I cannot wait for that moment when I get to see Jesus face to face and he takes me walking on the water with him. Like, that would be so rad. And it was just, amazing. It was really precious. But yeah. And then I remember, to wrap the story up, one of my dear mentors and friends, she took me out to coffee, and kind of during this time in my life where my whole life, the church that I'd grown up in and the school system that I'd been in and just even parts of the Christian music industry, it was very much ingrained subconsciously in my system that you have to work for God's love, like very much so. I mean, I was really hard on myself to the nth degree, like was going on missions and doing all these things for God, trying to get him to love me, you know, and I was just getting so, so, so incredibly burnt out. And around this time, my mentor friend, she would always talk to me about, Franny, you are God's beloved. And I like never really got what she was saying. I was like, that sounds sweet, but like, I did not get it. Like, you are God's beloved. I was like, like maybe if I do enough for him, or I'm, you know, pure enough in my heart, or my, you know, don't sin a lot, like maybe then I'm his beloved. And, she told me like, you need to learn to live from love and not for love. And that was like, oh my gosh, like that is so powerful. So now that's been kind of my heart check. Like when I'm making decisions or having conversations with people, I'm like, am I living from knowing that I'm so deeply and dearly loved by God that if I was the only person in the world, he would have chosen to still die for me? Like, am I living from that place, or am I living to try to prove myself, you know, to God and to others? And so I am so grateful that she said that. And I'm so grateful for this song, Dancing on the Waves, because they have all just what y'all talk about, living from a place of true love, true authenticity.
Like, it is such a cool, loving father story that you shared, that like driving down to this Young Life camp, that the Spirit showed up around a mandolin and a hot tub to give you words, which is speaking to you, that would change how you viewed him, that would be a catalyst of an experience of engaging the Spirit in worship, experiencing the Spirit in worship, that would a week later affect you guys to start a band that God will then steward for however he wants for the kingdom, as we are the kingdom. And so in God expanding the kingdom, how he used all that together is what stood out to your story the most to me, of like, man, the Spirit of God is the real deal. Like Jesus says, I'm going because what's better is to come, which is the Spirit, God's presence with you. And moments like that, where the Spirit like bypasses our brain and rationale and logic to like give us clarity. That's beyond just, you could have read words like that, but what God implanted on your heart in that moment that changed your theology. And then later the words that he spoke into your heart through your mentor over coffee.
Right.
It's so wild how the Spirit moves and how little I lean into that and trust it.
Oh my gosh. I know. I was thinking about that verse and God, pray that God gives you the peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah.
And I thought about passing all my understanding. I love what you said, bypassing my brain. Like, yeah, those are really, that's a great way to describe so many of the moments that I've had in my life. Yeah. It's like, I didn't decide to do this, or I didn't, you know, I went, wow.
It's so many people, you know, that Christianity is just like a intellectual decision, that Jesus was a dude who lived and died and rose from the dead, and that leads to redemption and atonement, all these things. But the power of what I can't get enough of, and is that I've only scratched the surface of, is like this access to the Spirit that he made possible. And
oh, I know.
And why is it my experience is, I was talking to my buddy Scott in the car on Friday driving, going, it's the most crazy making thing to me in my life, that it's like the richest peace that surpasses understanding. Like, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. God is standing at the door knocking to be more real in my life, to love me. And I wake up and just go after my days as normal. Like, I don't have access to the Spirit most days. This is me processing out loud my issues of like, it's the richest thing ever, but I so often take it for granted. And I guess that's just the journey of maturing my whole life, that I get to figure it out every day and trust him anew. But how do you move towards preparing your heart to experience God's love for you? Like, those moments.
That's a great question. I love that. I think one thing about following the Spirit that I wanted to share, I think even in under the guise of following the Spirit, I have really interesting how I think hearing from the Spirit changed a little bit as God was doing construction in my heart to understand that I lived from love, not for love.
Yep.
And I think even then I experienced a season, just this is my story, of like not hearing God's voice as much as I wanted to. But I'm realizing now that I'm healed and whole and to, you know, more than I was, that it's that God was doing that to show me, like, how me loving you is not dependent on how well you can hear me, you know?
Yep.
And so it was like, I'll just lead you.
Yep.
Even if you're not actually being like, oh, I heard from God that I'm going here. He's like, I'll just take you where you need to go. You won't even know it's me.
Yep.
You know, just so sweet. I think God does that sometimes. And I want to say to anybody who's listening, if you feel like you're in a season of not hearing God's voices clearly, like, do not worry. God loves you so much, and he's leading you even despite yourself, you know.
He's there knocking, and we have access to him. But you're right, it's not parking space or what to do for lunch, as it is. He's always there guiding, directing, and the subtle whispers of the Spirit sometimes are overt, like the worship at Sharp Top and the clarity of the music.
Right.
And for me, a couple of weeks ago was the last time I experienced that clarity of the whisper that was, had something to do with plans for me heading into next year. But,
I love that.
The subtleties of it are where the beauty of God's love is I'm most thirsty for the times in relationship and with my kids and alone, of just enjoying his love for me. As you just said, like it's living from love, not for love. And I did a men's weekend a couple weekends ago with some guys, and the theme of the weekend was, what if, you know, the difference of the question, what does God want from me versus what does God want for me?
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
You said, I mean, you are the daughter of like Ed, who's been in the Christian music scene your whole life. So the pressures to live for God wore you out, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're Ed's daughter. You gotta go do great things.
Right. And I think that was totally a factor. And most of that came from the church experience that I had, that was just super toxic and you know, unhealthy and no accountability. Like that sort of like, you know, classic unhealthy church scenario. So that was just a lot of pain came from that. We're like, wow, I just need to. Felt like constantly I was like walking on eggshells and needing to meet the standards of the church so that everyone would, you know, think highly of me because, or more for me, I think it wasn't so much to think highly of me, but more to escape punishment. Like that was more, I think so that verse, God's love casts out, like your perfect love casts out fear. I love that so much. Like that is so, so awesome. But you asked, how do I prepare my heart to receive God's love? And I love that question. That's awesome. I think one of the hard things is like when I'm on a stage and I'm feeling so prone to want to just like be the best worship leader or say the perfect thing or sing perfectly or whatever, you know, all these things that come at me when I'm on stage and I can't just get off and pray, you know, that's a hard predicament because I'm like, well, I'm stuck here for the next hour. You know, what am I going to do? Like when I'm feeling attacked like that. So I found even just like getting on my knees and on stage and just like going into that, my own place, and God, help me to live from your love right now, to understand how deeply I'm loved and to communicate that to people. Like even I've been realizing how powerful a quick prayer is, just, it's so powerful. Like even now, and before the podcast started, I was just, Lord, let me live from your love. Let me communicate what you want to say to the people who are listening and to live from that place. And it's just like, my whole perspective changed. I was like, oh, I'm at peace now. I'm not worried about saying something wrong or, you know, over sharing a detail or going down a tangent I shouldn't have. It's like, God just loves me and he will communicate through me what he needs to. And so, I think just those quick prayers. And also I'm thankful. Y'all talk a lot about having authentic community. For me, my husband and my band are those people for me. And I think that because they're so close in my life, they can see whenever my motive is coming from trying to prove myself way. And I've invited them to like speak into that and be like, hey, you don't need to do that. You don't need to try to prove yourself. You don't need to, you know, be afraid of failing or punishment or whatever, you know. So it's just been sweet to have those people in my life who can see it when I can't, you know, and point it out to me. So, or just, even just those, the affirmations of people close to you mean so much more than any affirmation of the world, you know. And whenever my husband says like, you're so loved, you're just whatever, when he would affirm me of God's promises over my life, it means so much more than just hearing it from a book or you know, fans or anything. It's like so those things are,
isn't that the power of community to remind us of who we are? And you're like,
it's really powerful.
And you're like super Christian, popular, famous now, up and to the right, all these awards. And you're going, man, I need these people in my life to remind me of who I am. Because again, it's coming, all kinds of fake stuff's coming from elsewhere. But internally, what really matters of who you are and whose you are, those people in your life, to have consistent, loving relationships to remind you of that. Man, that's so awesome.
Yeah. And it's hard with, recently with fans, because sometimes I just feel like you're so kind that you don't really know me. You know, you're saying all these things of like, wow, she's such a good role model or whatever. And I'm like, you know, like I love Jesus, but I got super angry the other day at traffic. Like I was going off on the car, you know. I'm like, I'm not a good role model. Like, you know, I mean, I try my best to live, you know, to love the Lord, but it definitely is like nice to have those people that know you so well and then are still like to be able to still love you and still remind you of God's promises over your life. Like, that is such a gift from God. And those people can hurt you the most because they're the closest to you.
Yep.
But reconciliation is, I think, one of the most healing things in the world when you experience that. And it's not always possible that both people will be willing to reconcile.
Yep.
But when it happens, it's so sweet. And hopefully the people that are closer, that's able to happen. And some, you know, so that's what's really sweet about it. But yeah, community is so, it's so important. It's amazing.
So you're heading into next year, and right now y'all are in that season of a band and in your life where it's up and to the right. The asks, the opportunities, the excitement, the awards, the sales, and that kind of thing. What in that you're looking ahead at a new year of 2021 that looks like it's going to be amazing. What, behind all of that, outwardly, what's your hope, that God teaches you or does in your heart? What's his hope for you as a loving father for your heart heading into next year?
Wow. You know, that's a great question. I think that this year, because of all the unknowns and the uncertainties, has sent me into this place of getting easily frazzled, easily stressed, easily into a chaotic headspace where I'm like, the plan keeps changing, or just the unknown. I think something I've realized about myself that I don't like is that I do appreciate knowing what's coming. Yep. I appreciate a semi-structure. You know, I think all of us as humans like that to some degree, no matter how spontaneous we are. We like to know what's coming. I don't think anyone is truly comfortable with the unknown, you know, and their own just human strength. And so something that I'm praying from my heart and hoping that God will grow in me is just the ability to stay calm and stay at peace and not get so worked up over plans changing or things not going the way that I thought they would. Or, you know, even just, we were in a video shoot for a worship night for, we were doing like a filmed video worship night for it was like a music association. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird, like worshiping in front of cameras. It's so weird. But I think it went over by like 3 hours. That's like our deadline. We just kept having things happen wrong, like equipment not working, and the cameras had some issues. So things just kept going super late. And I was so worried that the organization was going to get really annoyed with us, or that our manager was going to be upset, or that all of the people that were there for us. I was just so worried about everything. And then I went home and I was just realized how stressed out I was. And I want to be able to like keep a calm and just trust the Lord and be at peace. I think peace is something. Well, it's funny. I sang peace on I don't know if you've listened to the Bethel Peace record. It's beautiful. It's an amazing record. It's designed to like settle our hearts and our minds so that we can hear God's truth over our lives. And I was asked to sing the song Peace, like the title track of the record, which talked about like, God, I receive your peace. And I connected so much with this song. And I think there have been a few people that think it's because I'm just a peaceful person. And I'm like, that is hilarious, because I am like the most not. Like, I can get very type A and stressed out about things. And so the fact that like that's the song that God wanted to give me to sing over people in my heart, I'm like, that is hilarious. Like, I am just not that kind of person, but but it's something that I want to, you know, peace, I would say, is something that I'm praying, just peace no matter what comes. And I know that sounds cliche, but I need it.
This whole conversation for me, like, I'm just going, God, what are you teaching me in this conversation? And because like even the subtleties of access to God, to the subtle prayer of, hey, God, give us the words and take away the anxiety of this podcast. And like, oh yeah, man, we have access to the Spirit that I just want to access more and abide more. And if we didn't have anxiety and stress and difficulties, then we miss those opportunities to have that reminder that we need God to show up and we need his peace.
That's so true.
And you're like, and that's okay. Cause I've been struggling lately with like, presence and awareness of the Spirit, but it's like,
yeah,
oh yeah, because if I had it, I wouldn't need him to show up as I do all the time. nowadays. Yeah. And so he loves me too much to not allow me to not need those triggers, to depend on him in humility and go, Spirit, show up and give me the peace, give me the clarity, provide, do whatever you need to do in these different times,
right.
Which is just awesome that we have a loving Father that's sitting there waiting and knocking and all in our whole lives, the rest of our lives, until we get to that new heaven and dance on the waves, we get to just wake up and have access to a God and invite him in every day anew, that's even awesome. If I forget.
I love that, what you just said about, you know, if I had it, I wouldn't need him, you know? And I think there are, that's something I'm realizing too. I'm like, what are the areas of my life that I'm longing for something?
Yeah.
Whether it's a close friendship or whether it's peace and whether it's whatever it is in my heart that I'm longing for. And then I talked to my friends, some of my friends who are waiting for a husband or waiting for, you know, the ability to have a house or somewhere to live, whatever it is that you're longing for. Like, I think there's this instant gratification in the church sometimes in our culture where it's like, well, just, you know, speak into existence. It's like, that's not always the case, because I think sometimes God wants to use those times of longing to show us that how much we need him. Those times of longing can create desperation for God and can create the sweetest friendship with God, you know? And so it's important that we don't just like bypass by getting what we need and what we want in the moment, because God might be wanting to give us himself, you know, which is so much more important than anything else that we could ever need. So I'm learning those times of like to identify those places of longing in my heart. And instead of trying to just bypass it by madly searching for whatever I want or ordering it on Amazon, you know, not that everything can be ordered on Amazon, but it's like,
pretty much.
I want this husband, or I want this wife, or I want this, you know, thing. It's like, you just order it on whatever instantly. And it's like, God wants to use those places of longing to create desperation for him. And I think that's something that we just should never. So next year I want to really get serious. What am I longing for in my heart, and how can I run to God and find him in that, you know?
That's awesome.
I love what you just said. That's awesome. Really good.
So we're recording this end of December, and it'll come out December as we're in anticipation for a new year of 21. And Franny, I don't do this on the podcast, but I'd love to pray with you, because we're talking about like abiding and listening, and how cool that we have access to a Father that's smiling on us now and loves us like crazy. And so God, we get to pray together and invite you to continue to bless a new friend, Franny, and her husband, Andrew, as they are, just became married, which is this crazy, beautiful thing that you, created. And we pray for their, family, that their relationship becomes stronger and stronger. And pray for their future kids, that they'll become musical prodigies for this musical couple and continue to use their kids' gifts for the kingdom, as we are the kingdom and you continue to use all of us. And I pray most for Franny going into next year. God, what are you have been doing to weave a story in her life through difficulties of churches and where that led to tension, Lord, but then you used to reconcile and redeem her heart, to draw her closer to you, God. How you have entrusted and implanted and shaped a theology and an understanding of who you are and who she is, that you are now using to impact people's perspectives of you all across the world through the music and the gifts that you have given her. And so we get to advocate as a True Face tribe on behalf of Franny, that you continue to protect her heart, to bless her, and to give her truths and understanding that only come from the Spirit of who you are, and the gifts to articulate that, to bless all of us in celebrating and worshiping who you are. How cool is that, that you get to do that for and through her? And we pray protection and blessing for all of our benefit, that we get more awesome music to worship you and connect to you. And thank you for what you've done and doing that through her so far. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And Robbie, could I pray for y'all?
Come on.
I would love that. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Robbie and for Emily, for their amazing 8 kids, the True Face Ministry, and the book, The Cure, God. I've been so blessed by their ministry and what you're doing in their lives, God, to just create authentic community, to help remind people that they are loved no matter what they do, because of who you are, God, and pray for your peace that bypasses our brains and that surpasses our understanding. That I just pray that this ministry would go out into the world for your name's sake, God, that it would get in the hands of people so that they can start just realizing, how to take their spiritual masks off and the things that they do to make themselves look better, God, and where they're ignoring and not wanting to see that you love us without our masks, that you love us for who we really are and for who you've made us to be. I pray that an awareness of the beauty of the image of God in all of us could just be unleashed, God, by this ministry, and that people would look at themselves in the mirror and see your masterpiece, your art, God, and that we are beautiful and wonderful how you've made us, Jesus, and that that would drive us to closeness with you instead of running from you because of the hurt that we've experienced by people who call themselves yours, and who are just broken too, God, even though they are yours, God. And I pray that you would just bless this team. Thank you so much for them and that they've taken the time to listen to my story and to hear from my heart. I feel so honored, God, and I'm so grateful. And I pray that anything that I said that wasn't of you, that I could just like fall away, and that people could just hear you speaking to them through my story, Jesus, and what you've done in my life, God, and in your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. This is awesome. Amen. Keep causing trouble for the kingdom, because we are the kingdom, Franny. Come on, keep getting that word of the gospel out there.
You too. You guys are awesome. I feel so grateful to know you. I'm so glad Brittany reached out. Like, I'm so grateful.
This is literally a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. And Cages is officially the True Face anthem, apparently.
There we go.
So come on. That's awesome. We're going to keep using it.
I love it.
Hey, thanks for joining the True Face podcast. If you guys want to continue to check out Franny's stuff, go to We The Kingdom, follow them, like them, listen to all their music. It's amazing. And like and subscribe this podcast and share it with your friends. Thanks, y'all.